Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. 2021 is the year we advance. Everyone say advance. Psalm 18, 29 is our key verse for this year. With your help, with God's help, I can retreat, stand still, pull back. No, with your help, God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. There's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some troops come against us. There's going to be some walls we got to get over. But with God's help, we will. What are we going to do? We're going to... God wants you to move forward. Turn to the person that you're fortunate to be sitting beside on the couch and say, I'm going to advance. If it's only the cat, tell the cat you're going to advance this year. Okay, four specific areas we talked about on Vision Sunday we're going to advance in. Four challenges. Number one is advance in prayer. I want to say last week Steve spoke brilliantly, didn't he? Prayer is prayer for the perfect. No, it's for everyone. And on Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., we kicked off our one big idea for 2021, which is the War Room or the War Zoom. And we had over 150 people join us for early morning prayer. Now, I want that to continue. If you didn't join this week, last week, join this week, okay? All the links are on our social media feeds. If you don't have it, contact us, because people from all over the world join us. We had people from all over joining us for prayer, and I know that this is going to be the catalyst for God to do something unique and as we advance this year. And so the question for advancing prayer is, what is the one area of my life I'm not in control of? Whatever you're not in control of, God is in control of. Second thought is, we're going to advance in community. And we are a small church with a lot of people, and our heart is that everyone is connected in. Okay, so if you're online and you're not part of a small group, we want to make sure that we get you involved in our ministries and our groups. Next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about that. Third area was advance in promise. What is the one promise from God I am holding on to? Okay, now, today I'm going to make a disclaimer. Is that okay? This will be a really challenging message. Okay, I'm going to provoke some thinking today, and we can only advance in life if we challenge ourselves. If you want to advance in your fitness, a personal trainer is looking at me. But if you want to advance in your fitness, here's the thing, you've got to challenge yourself. You've got to challenge yourself in your diet. You've got to challenge yourself in your workout routines. If you want to advance in business, you've got to get around some people who are further ahead of you, who will allow you to speak into your life. If you want to advance in your marriage, you've got to maybe go on a marriage course. You've got to invest into it. You can never move forward in an area of your life without being challenged. That's why God's word is so important. God's word empowers you, encourages you, but it also challenges you. All right, so today is going to be a challenging message. Sometimes I'll tickle your ears, other times we're going to challenge you. Is that all right? All right, so number four is our fourth area we're going to advance in, is advance in mission. The question that we have for the year in this area is, who is the one person that I am believing to lead to Christ in 2021? I want that question to be constantly in your mind. Who is the one person? It could be a child, it could be a sibling, it could be a parent, it could be a family member. Who is the one person? Our key scripture comes from Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul speaking. He says, my life is worth nothing. My life is worth nothing. My business is worth nothing. The money in my bank is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the mission assigned me by the Lord Jesus. And what is the mission? The mission is the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. Paul is saying, my life is empty. I know a lot of wealthy people whose lives are empty. Why? Because they've never found the true meaning, the true mission in life, which is to share the wonderful, incredible good news of the love and the kindness of Jesus. Not telling others conspiracy or end times prediction, but telling the good news. I love being around people who've got a good report, good news. The Bible says good news brings health to the bones. Come on, the good news is the best news. And our primary mission on this earth is to share good news. Come on, everyone say good news. Come on, we've been bombarded with bad news for the last 12 months. We've got some good news to share from Soul Church this morning. So how can I motivate you to take the good news on mission and share it with others? How can I do that? Well, I realized I can't. But I know a verse that can help us. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this. It says, for the love of Christ compels us. I cannot motivate you to do anything, but the love of Christ will compel you to share the good news. Everybody matters to God. Everybody. God never made a person he didn't love. Say that again. God never created a person he didn't love. God made some people I don't love. God made a lot of people I don't like, but God never created a person that he didn't love. The most despicable person that you can imagine, God still loves. The person who ripped you off in business, the person who owes you money, the person who did some dire things in your life, God still loves them. And because God loves them and because God cares, we must care. And if members of Soul Church don't share the good news in Norfolk, who will? Who will? If we don't share the good news, the BBC won't. If I don't share the good news, who will? And God holds us responsible for the lives of people that he puts across our paths to share the good news. I am personally responsible. They say that the average person has 200 people in their sphere of influence. That can be their hairdresser, their personal trainer, that can be the person they buy their car off regularly. Whatever it is, here they have 200 people in their sphere of influence. Why? Because God has said, you are personally responsible to share the good news. You're not personally responsible for them to listen. You're not personally responsible for them to respond, but you are responsible to share the good news. If my son or daughter was ever in a burning building, like all mums and dads, I wouldn't care how big the flames were, the smoke. I would do everything I could to get in that building and rescue my kids. And people might think you and I were crazy. We might get burnt, but who knows, as a parent, who knows you would try to get in that building? And afterwards, if I survived and I was successful in rescuing my kids, people might say, wow, John, wow, Colin, wow, Steve, you were brave, you were courageous for rescuing your kids. I would say, no, I wasn't. I was just motivated by love. It wasn't courage that motivated me to go and rescue my kids. It was love. Now here's the deal. For us to go on mission, it cannot be courage, it's gotta be love. Our world is full of people heading to a lost eternity. Full of them. Our mission needs to be motivated by love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us. We cannot ignore the hurting people around us, the people in the building going to a lost eternity. Why? Because they need to hear the good news. the people in your office, the people on your Zoom meeting, the people in Costa, the people at the football club, they need to know forgiveness of their past. They need to know purpose for their present, and they need to understand there is a heaven for their future. And today, I pray that I do not try and motivate you. I pray that God's love compels you. Because I've tried to motivate people all my life, and some I've been successful with, and a whole lot else I haven't. But here's the thing, if you are motivated or compelled by Christ's love, you will jump into the mission. So how do we advance the mission of Jesus in 2021? Two simple ways. I want you to write these down. These are two words that we're going to be using a lot over this message, but also over the coming year. Two words. This is how we advance the mission. Number one is we show it. Number two, we share it. Show it, share it. Everyone say, show it, share it. People will not be interested in us sharing it before we have shown it. People don't care initially about what we say. They care about who we are. God wants us, write this down. God wants us to visualize Jesus before we verbalize Jesus. Say that again. God wants you and I to visualize Jesus. He calls us salt and light. Here's the thing about salt and light. They both don't talk. When you put your salt on your chips, it doesn't talk back. It just tastes good. Light doesn't talk back. And the fact is, we're being watched. We're being watched by our employers. We're being watched by our employees. We're being watched by our neighbors. By the way, I still don't get this right. I remember our first house when we got married. I remember I shared Jesus with my neighbor the first week. I thought, oh, I'm a good soldier of the Lord. Then it was bin day. I thought they were in bed. Our bin was overflowing, so I thought I'd put some of my rubbish in their bin. And don't point fingers, because you've all done it. You ever snuck your bag that's overflown into your neighbor's bin? Well, I did that. I put it in her empty bin, and she saw me in the window open. She said, hello, what are you doing? I said, She said, I thought you were meant to be a Christian. Oh, a low blow. No one best knows how to be a Christian than a non-Christian. No one knows how to best be a parent than a teenager. Every conversation we have, every action, every word we speak has eternal implications. What an awesome responsibility. I shudder to think someone might use my life as an excuse for saying no to Jesus. I've seen how John lives. If that's a Christian, then forget it. By the way, feel free to put your own name in there. I shudder to think how, and if that's, I don't want it. Gandhi famously said, and sadly said, I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Before we share it, we have to show it. We need to show God's love and live in a way which brings credit to God's name. How we live is literally influencing where people spend eternity. Because people are not interested in the message until the messenger has credibility. But it's not just enough to show it, we've actually got to share it. Colossians 4:5 says, make the most of your chances to tell others the good news. We've been on the streets of Norwich for nearly 7 years now, feeding the homeless most weeks. The team do a fantastic job. In fact, let's give them a hand. Let's show them some love in the chat. Chantal and I and the kids went out this week and popped in and just were just so moved. And we've got this great partnership with St. Stephen's Church that allows us to use the building. And the homeless community come in, and Brooke cooked an incredible, I think it was a stew this week for them, and they sit down in this warm environment. I think it's the only restaurant open in Norfolk at the moment, and we just love on the homeless community. It's amazing. But I met with the team last week, and I said, you know, we've been showing the love of Christ to the homeless community for nearly 7 years. We've also got to share it. So I said at the end of the meal, I just want someone to stand up and share just for a couple of minutes about why we do it. Because we don't just care about their physical bodies, we care about their souls. So we're now not just we're not just showing, we're sharing the good news and giving them an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Because one day, I don't want to just be responsible for if you fed the poor. I want to be responsible. I want to stand and give an account for sharing the good news with them too. And it's not even just to show it. We have to share it. And it's not enough just to show it. You've got to share it. 1 John 1 says, what was heard, seen, and touched, that was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and hands have handled concerning the word of life. Jesus, this is talking about, he didn't just share it, he showed it. The Bible says he was seen and heard. His integrity was seen by all, but his message was heard by all. It's not just enough to show Jesus in your actions and in your integrity, and that is a huge part of it. You've got to take the next step, which is to share it. I've heard people say, but I don't need to say anything. My life is a witness. That's not true. Even Jesus had to share it. Even Jesus had to share the good news. He came to proclaim the good news. People might want to know why you're so happy on a Monday morning and you've lived such an incredible, credible life, but now it's time to tell them why. Tell them why you're happy. Tell them why the joy is in you. And this is our mission, church. This is our mission, okay? So this is our mission. I want you to write this down. This is our mission for 2021 as we advance. I want you to write this down. Five words for our mission. Invite people into God's family. Okay, invite people into God's family. I challenge you to ask yourself this challenging question. Is this, is anyone going to be in heaven because of me? I said this wouldn't be an easy morning. Is anyone going to take up a seat in heaven because of my life? Or am I so consumed with my world, my own mission, my mission to get rich, my mission to do this, my mission to get that, that I don't see anyone else? And God is saying, would you just stop and ask yourself this question? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of me? If the answer is yes, keep going. If the answer is no, make some changes. Now that was the intro. Are you ready for this? How do we fulfill the mission of inviting people into God's family? I'm glad you asked. Are you ready for the answer? The answer is this. Think like a fish. Think like a fish. Everyone say, think like a fish. That's the title of my message today. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman. My good friend Rob is here. And when I was younger, he used to take me lake fishing. And I think I caught a 6-pound tench once. Okay, so I haven't got much experience when it comes to fishing. I was always a little bit too noisy. The fish heard me coming, and it just didn't work. Rob also realized I was a bit noisy, so I didn't get the invite too many times. The only thing I was ever allowed out of the house sort of after midnight for was late night fishing. So if ever I needed to go to a party, I'd just tell my mum I was going fishing. Just kidding. Now, there's 50 passages in scripture on fishing. Okay, so the Bible is fisherman's friend. Who remember granddad at fisherman's friend? What are they? What are those all about? Anyone's granddad ever smoke and then have a sneaky lozenger fisherman's friend to cover it up? That was kind of my granddad. Here's what I've learned about an amateur fisherman, okay? Or here's what I've learned being an amateur fisherman. You can't be a good fisherman until you think like a fish. You can't. You got to learn their habits. You got to learn their preferences. You got to learn their feeding patterns. If you want to catch fish, you have to think like a fish. Certain fish like smooth, fresh, still water, like salmon. Others like rushing rivers, like trout. Certain fish are bottom feeders, like crabs or crayfish. Others like to hide among the rocks. Different fish have different patterns, different things they like to do. And if we don't understand the patterns of the fish we're trying to catch, we're wasting our time. The same is true when it comes to inviting people into God's family. We need to think like a fish. We need to think like an unchurched person. We need to think like what it was when you first walked into the room and you saw people and they were lifting their hands and they were singing songs and it was very, very weird. We all think we're normal because we think like fishermen. And Jesus gives us a great example of someone who is thinking like a fish. The Bible says in Luke 6:8, it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Jesus constantly used to think like sinners. He used to understand how they acted. Multiple times in Scripture, we read that Jesus knew what people were thinking. Now, here's the problem. The longer I am a Christian, the less I think like an unbeliever. Say that again. The longer I am a Christian, the less I think like an unbeliever. In fact, I think like a pastor. Now, that's even more of a problem because that's now two steps removed from an unbeliever. So, the reason that churches are empty and are emptying across our country is this. We prefer our own company. We'd much rather be around the safety of people who think like us, act like us, talk like us, dress like us, than getting in the deep waters and inviting people in to be part of God's family. We prefer the safety and the comfort zone called church. Jesus, he didn't compare us to carpenters, he didn't compare us to plumbers, he didn't compare us to footballers or cricketers, he compared us to fishermen. Mark 1:17, Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Two instructions Jesus gave his disciples. He said, follow me, fish for me. Two instructions are exactly the same instructions for you today. Follow me, fish for me. Follow me, fish for me. When you go into university, follow Jesus, follow his values, follow the way he loves people and fish for me. When you go into work this week, follow me, fish for me. Follow me, fish for me. Come on, you say it. Follow me, fish for me. Follow me, fish for me. That is the instruction Jesus gave his disciples. So how do we do that? Just three quick things as we pull this to an end. How do we fish? How do we advance? How do we invite people to be part of the family? Number one is we have to think like a fish and understand that fish desire to be loved. God created you to love and to be loved. The two purposes that you were created for were to be loved and to be loved. If you have a void in your life, I can guarantee it will be one of those two areas. You have never experienced God's love towards you and you don't love others. That's why our world is in such a messed up state because they don't understand the two purposes that you created for. One was to love God and to love others and the other was to be loved. And fish desire to be loved. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Love is a hallmark. I'm not talking about lust. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about pure love. Pure love is a hallmark of following Christ. And we're so good at loving those we feel comfortable around, those who look like us, talk like us, speak like us. Chantel and I, about 2 years ago, we really, really challenged ourselves. Do I really love lost people? Still, the best way I know to love someone is not to post about them, is not to like their Insta, is not to spend money on them. All these things are good, and spend time with them. Still, the number one way to love your spouse is to spend time with them. You can buy them the most beautiful car, a ring. You can do all those things. You can send them off on a girls' weekend. But if you don't spend time with them, eventually that relationship will break down. Time trumps money, gifts, Insta shout-outs all day long. And if you really feel compelled to go on mission, here's the deal. You've got to spend time with fish. They've got to know that you love them. That's why fishermen, they spend night after night by the lake. Because they love fish. Now think about this, and this is challenging. When was the last time that you or I had a coffee with someone, spent time with someone of a different political persuasion? When was the last time we hung out with someone who didn't have the same value system as us? When was the last time you hung out with a sex worker? When was the last time I had someone over to my house who was not the same skin color as mine? Sorry if it's getting uncomfortable. You see, when God wanted to tell us that he loved us, he didn't send a letter, he sent his son to spend time with us. Jesus left the splendor, the comfort of heaven, and he came down to spend time with us in human form. The Bible says in John 1:14, it says the Bible, it says the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Often the most Christ-like thing you can do for someone is just to show up in their life and give them time. Just to show up. Getting to know people on this mission begins with spending time with them. Second thing I've realized about fish is this. Number one, fish desire to be loved. Number two, fish desire to be accepted. I don't know about you, I'm an amateur fisherman, so when I go fishing, I accept all fish. If I catch a fish, I've caught a fish. I'm going home and telling Chantel, I caught fish. How big was it? Doesn't matter, it was a fish. I'm just grateful to catch one. I love watching fishing programs, and even when they pull out a little minnow, they get excited. Why? Because fish desire to be accepted. You know, fish can be slippery characters. Fish will hide. Fish don't turn up when you invite them to church. Fish sometimes smell. It's challenging, isn't it? Fish can let you down. I know good fishermen who go all night. I run past them in the morning on a Monday and they've been up all night fishing. I say, how many of you caught? They say nothing because the fish have let them down. But fish desire to be accepted. Luke 5:5, Simon answered, Master, we've been working hard all night. It's professional fishing. He said, and we have caught nothing. And here's what our world needs to know. This is what the people in your office, this is what the people of Norwich need to know. Acceptance precedes change. I'm going to say this again. Acceptance, it precedes change. Acceptance. I'll still love you anyway. They all think, people who don't attend church, people who are not followers of Christ, they all think that they've got to change to be accepted. But when I see the disciples, they didn't change first. They were accepted before they changed. When I look at the life of Zacchaeus, he was accepted and then there was a transformation. As a church, we've got to go on the mission field and let the world know that we accept you, we love you, and we will let God begin the changing work in your life. This is why so many fish, the slippery ones, the stinky ones, the hideaway ones, this is why they're staying away from church. Because they think that they've got to change and get their lives sorted out before they're invited and welcomed into the four walls of a church. I've got some good news today that God loves you and God accepts you. And He wants you to come just as you are. Come as you are. I'm an evangelist. I always will be. And I pray that the love of Christ is compelling you today to go on mission. Grace in the Bible always precedes truth. I'm so glad that God accepted me and God accepted you. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died in our place. Which means God accepted me even before I was born. We had a referral from Norwich City Council a few weeks ago and through the Soul Foundation, and said, can you help some of the community in the local mosque? Many of their community was struggling during the pandemic for food. As a church, we said yes. We've been able to send over 700 meals now. Some people in completely different religion, think different to us. But here's the thing, we still love them and God still loves them and God still accepts them and so do we. And our job is not to change people. Our job is to accept people. And we're gonna continue to go into places and do things that maybe haven't been done before. And I believe in that. And showing kindness and grace and love to different communities, there will be change. People will find and accept the love of Jesus. Matthew 25:35 says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. My job is to keep feeding, keep helping, put aside prejudices, put aside any preconceived thinking or ideas and just keep loving people. This is how people are caught in God's net of grace, not being pushed out or preached out, but being loved in. His grace is going to catch people. Fish desire to be loved. Fish desire to be accepted. Number three is fish desire to be invited. Fishermen put bait out. They throw it out. They throw the maggots into the lake. Why? Because it's an invitation to come and have some food. It's an invitation to come nearer. I love to get an invitation. Has anyone missed getting invitations over the last 12 months? All you get is cancellations. We don't even get those anymore because there's nothing to cancel. For the first 6 months, everything got canceled, and then it's like we just give up trying to do anything. But in the good old days, that's why we want to make sure that the doors of the church and virtual church are still open, because we want to always extend an invitation. Something special about being invited to something. Makes us feel important, doesn't it? Makes us feel valuable. In fact, the Bible is full of invitations. Matthew 4:19 says, come, follow me. Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. It's an invitation. Do you know, Jesus invited every single one of his disciples with a personal invitation. Didn't send an email out. He didn't send a pigeon. He personally invited them. There's something really special about the power of an invitation. I think an invitation has the power to change the trajectory of someone's life forever. Just give us a show of hands and put your hand up in the chat if the reason that you are in church today or the reason that you are following Jesus is because somebody invited you to a Christmas show, someone invited you to a small group, someone invited you to an Alpha course, there was an invitation. Just put your hand up. Over half the room are here today because somebody personally invited them in. When I meet new people who've joined the church, one of the questions I always ask is, how did you hear about Soul? Was it a billboard or social media? Probably 7 or 8 times out of 10, they'll say, somebody invited me. Somebody invited me. That's the mission, to invite people to be part of God's family. I don't know anyone in 42 years who's been argued into becoming a follower of Jesus. I know thousands who've responded to an invitation, tens of thousands, but not one person I know has ever been argued into becoming a Christ follower. Why? Because an invitation says, I care. An invitation says, you're welcome. You know, the top two reasons that people don't come to church. Top two reasons. Number one is this, they've been. It's pretty scary. They've been to a funeral, they've been to a wedding, they've been to a service of some sort, somewhere, and they've gone, this is not for me. You've got to walk past a whole load of dead people just to get in the church. I mean, what is that all about? Not in this church. But gravestones. I thought church is meant to be a place of life. People spend half their time. I wonder when she died. I wonder when he died. I mean, that's not what church is. Church is a life-giving atmosphere. People, they've had a bad experience. The reason you don't go back to the restaurant is because you didn't enjoy your experience. The reason, number one reason people don't come to church is they had a bad experience. But the second reason that people don't come to church is this. No one has ever invited them. They are waiting for an invitation. In a recent survey in the UK, 90% of people in the UK who have never been invited to church, 60% of those said they would come if they were invited. That means 60% of the people in your 200, in your sphere of influence, would say yes to coming to church if you invited them, or if I invited them. This is why we've got to get on mission this year. We've got seats to fill. We've got services to pack. We've got altars to fill. And we've got to get on mission to say they will come. They will come if we will invite them. The truth, the issue is not that they don't want to come. It's that we don't have the boldness to invite them. Who's glad that someone was bold enough to invite you? Who's glad that someone invited you to the summer camp? Who's glad that someone took you to Rock Nation? Someone took you. I'm so glad. This will never be a comfortable church. Why? Because we want you to think like a fish. We want you to think like the person who's coming in for the first time. We want you to think about the person in your office who's depressed. How the love of Jesus could lift them up. We want you to think like someone who's never opened their Bible before. We want you to think like someone who's never stood in this building and lifted their hands and understood the atmosphere of praise and worship. We want you to think different. We've got to love people, accept people, and invite people. That's how we go on mission. We've got to show it and we've got to share it. We've got to live what we preach and we've got to preach what we live. We've got to do it both. It's not just enough to live a life of integrity. And I encourage you, you keep going, but you've got to be bold and brave. You've got to have some tenacity and tell people why you live, why you live. Come on, there's people in our city who are dying. There's people who are going to a lost eternity. Would you pluck up some Holy Spirit boldness? Would you get some courage today from God and believe that people in your world who are going to a lost eternity will find hope in Jesus? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this out. Come on, let's believe it. Amen. I love the line of this famous hymn, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." You know what breaks God's heart? It's people going to a lost eternity. What breaks God's heart is the fact that we don't share the good news. What breaks God's heart is that we fail to think like fish and just think like fishermen. Fish desire to be loved. Fish desire to be accepted. And fish desire to be invited. Now, this is the challenge. This is our mission for 2021. As we advance, to invite people into God's family. Now we're going to do something today where I only want you to respond if you wholeheartedly commit to the mission. I want you to lift your hand and say, "Mission accepted. Mission accepted." Come on, mission accepted. My hand's up. All that hand represents is one person that does not know the love of Jesus. Mission accepted. Come on, stop thinking like people in the room. Think like someone who's completely lost, someone who's high on drugs, someone who's selling their body just to make ends meet, someone who's just so torn up with life right now. They're the people that God's called us to be. Think like the businessman who's just lost his business in this pandemic. That's what God's called us to be. Father, we are so sorry for thinking like our own. We are so sorry for the times we've neglected what the mission of this life is, which is to love and accept and invite people into the love of Jesus and into this family. Father, we accept the mission today to advance in 2021. Father, every hand which is raised, it represents a son or a daughter, a mom, a dad, a person in business, a person on the street who is far, far from you. And I pray, Father, that the love of Christ would compel us, Father. Lord, this would not be a motivational message, Father, but it will be the love of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we are going to populate heaven and we are going to plunder hell. We thank you, Father God. This is life or death, Father. And we go on mission this week, Father. Open doors. Give us opportunities to share the love of Jesus in our world. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Pastor John brought a message that was so powerful, inspiring each one of us to make a difference. And he shared the scripture that Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I will make a difference in your life, but first we need to follow him. And right now in these closing moments, you may be watching online for the first time, or maybe you've been watching for a while now, and you can say in the bottom of your heart, you don't yet know Jesus. You are not yet following him. And with loving arms and with understanding and with non-judgmental and with a big heart towards you, he's reaching out to extend an invitation. Pastor John talked about, we all love to receive an invitation. This one has been shaped with you in mind. You see, every one of us were created as souls to need, to be loved, to be valued, to belong. We were were created to be loved by a God that loves you unconditionally. You might say, Rach, you don't know what I've done, but He knows what you've done and He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. We were created as souls to be accepted, to belong, to come as we are. And as a church, we want you to come as you are. But more importantly, your Creator, your Father, whether you know it or not, He accepts you as you are. And He wants to extend an invitation right now. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come, all who are weary, how burdened down with life, with the cares of life, I will give you rest." He wants to give you rest and peace that no man, no situation, no circumstance, no material thing, no lucky legacy, there's nothing in this world that can give you peace and satisfaction and fulfillment like knowing Jesus. So right at this moment, I'm speaking to you in your living room. Maybe you're in your car, wherever you are right now, and you're listening to this. Don't just think, oh, I'm just watching. Engage with this moment, because right now Jesus is gently speaking to your heart and saying, I love you. I've accepted you already. Now I'm inviting you to step into relationship with me. And maybe right now we're going to pray this very powerful prayer, and I'm going to ask that you repeat this after me. If you just say, yes, I'm not sure I know it all, but I want to take a step of faith. And right as we're coming out of this pandemic, I want to know that my foundation is right. Or maybe you've once served God, but you've drifted during this season. And your heart has become harder and you've kind of walked away from God. You've become disappointed. But today He's saying, come. He's drawing like a fisherman with a big net, and he's reaching out and saying, come, come. I love you. I've never left you. Say yes to me today. So it's for the first time or second or third time, you know it's you. I want you to respond. Maybe put your hand on your heart as you're praying this in the privacy of your room, or maybe with a family member and you want to say, yeah, I need to pray that prayer. So after me, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you for the invitation. Today I respond. Today I choose you. Today I ask for forgiveness. Today I want to find meaning, purpose, and hope beyond the grave. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you were in our room today, we would be applauding you. So right now, those that are here, but across the screen, we want to say a massive welcome to the kingdom of God. We want to applaud your boldness, your response to say yes. But secondly, we are applauding because we would love you to connect. Again, if you were here, we would love to give you a Bible and chat with you and just do that naturally. But as you're watching online, we would love that you pop, maybe in the chat, I prayed that prayer. Or there's a couple of things online that you can do. You can go onto our website, pop your details. You can text a number on the screen because we would love to connect with you. We're not going to hassle you. We just want to say, well done. Is there anything we can do to help? And download the Bible on your phone. There's an app that you can download that will really help you. And keep tuning in. And when we're back in the room, eventually come back in so that you can know without a doubt that you're with others that are doing the same thing as you. And together we are going to have a life that is meaningful and full of purpose. So a huge well done. Can we applaud each and every one again? And can we applaud Pastor John also for bringing an incredible message? Put some love in the chat where you're encouraged by that message. Morris is saying, I will advance with our church and with God. Sandy is saying, Sir Hammond is saying, we are loved, accepted, invited, and we're going to give that to everybody we come into contact with. What a challenging message, but I feel my heart is stirred and I feel God's heart of love.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.